Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonance Space. Hello and welcome to Resonance Space. On this episode, still journeying along our favourite topic of nature, I'm really interested in plant healing. And it's not something that I do personally. I, you know, get the benefits of other amazing people that know what they're talking about. And one of those people is Heidi.
That would be me.
Our very own, who, yeah, you're very into your plant healing and medicine, aren't you?
I am, and it kind of started, not by accident, but, you know, events presented themselves to make it extremely important. Well, you know, I've been a pharmacist. I am a pharmacist in America. Long story.
Yeah.
But I've been in pharmacy since 1991, and pharmaceutical drugs have their origins in plants.
Yeah. So this is obviously the context of you maybe coming from more of a industry perspective.
Don't say I'm industry.
No, that's where you were. So now more of a natural perspective.
Yes. I remember, I think it first kind of hit home when Andy and I were in Oxford and we went to see the medicinal gardens in Oxford where they had all of these different areas in the garden of all the different healing plants that we got our kind of baseline medications from.
Oh, wow. And in Oxford.
Yeah. So I was walking around and this really surprised me. I actually got quite emotional.
Mm.
Like, you know, I've been doing this in my whole life and now I can see where it comes from. I got very emotional. I think that's what sparked it originally, but that was a couple of years ago. And I didn't really think about it much, really.
So the base of all modern medicine, you're saying, came from these plants, or?
Yes. Well, the base as in, this is where a lot of pharmaceutical drugs come from.
Okay.
Is it they originate from a plant. So it's a plant extract, some kind of very specific molecular structure coming from a specific plant, like, for instance, foxglove, digitalis, digoxin for heart.
See, that surprises me already. I didn't know that. I mean, when I see a little white pill that I take for a headache, for example, I just assume that's all chemicals. I don't see anything natural in that at all.
Well, technically it's not, because by the time we get it in the pharmacy, it doesn't look anything like it used to.
Mm.
So just like food is a better way to take vitamins and minerals and nutrients rather than supplements, herbalism, or getting medical use of plants, is better done while it's still in the plant per se. Rather than doing a chemical or any kind of extraction process to isolate the individual thing we're looking for.
Yeah. But I suppose for mass production, it's necessary. Is it?
In the scale that we have it now, yes.
Mm, yeah.
Absolutely. But I also understand that just like, and I've been saying this for my whole career, most of my career, everyone reacts different to medication. And unfortunately, we have more of a blanket prescribing regime. So, you know, if you're female and you're an adult, considered a quote-unquote adult, you're going to get the same dose as, say, if you're 19 years old or 80, more or less, generally speaking. I mean, that in itself, I always thought was quite misguided because everyone is different. Not only do our bodies react to different medications, chemicals, everything really. If you think about our bodies, like we all have a taste preference, right? Some people like spicy food. Some people like sweet food. And if you think about all the shades and the variations of people's preferences when it comes to what they taste and even smell, that is only the beginning of how everyone's so different as far as how they react to medication. It's just an easy example to get.
Yeah, of course. Like our complex systems of how we break down, you know, different foreign bodies in the, you know, it must be endless how we react differently.
It's a direction of medicine that is kind of up and coming, with genetics becoming quite easily accessible and less expensive than it used to be, creating medications specifically for your genetic type, whatever that means. But it's not just what your genes have. It's your body composition. It's your diet, exercise, what you do, your lifestyle. So everything that you do is going to, in some way, most likely affect how you react to medications.
So do you then think it's actually easier, maybe with more of a holistic, you know, plant-based sort of medicine approach to sort of, I don't know, counteract that a little bit? Is it easier to be more tailored to the person, or is it?
Yes and no. Mm. I say yes and no because when you say easier, you're more likely to get a certain effect from using a certain plant. But just like with medication, everyone reacts differently to different plants. So you're kind of back in the same boat.
But maybe with a more natural, I don't know, spin on it.
Well, the because it's of natural origin, and as long as you get the stuff from an herbalist that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, unless you have an anaphylactic reaction, you're less likely to be harmed by an herbal medicine.
So less side effects, maybe.
Generally. That is a general overview.
Yeah, sure, because obviously, yeah, there'll be different
things. You think about, because when we take medications, it's a concentrated extract of that specific molecule. But when you take something as plant medicine, be it a tea, you could eat it, you could dry it, put it in capsules, many, many different ways to do it. It's still the whole plant, the part of the plant. So it's integrated with its own origins. Just like if you, instead of taking vitamin C, if you eat more citrus fruits, is a better way to get your vitamin C than if you take a tablet.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
So is that what drew you to more of a holistic approach, do you think?
I think it definitely was the foundation of heading this way. I've always kind of had a fleeting interest in it. It would kind of wax and wane since I was in my 20s. But it wasn't until the last, I'd say, less than a handful of months that I've really started to dive deep into it. I was already really into the whole nature is really good for you, and nature as quote-unquote medicine as a whole, it's part of my holistic healing.
Yeah.
And it's also part of who I am. So that also added to that foundation. Then I realized, oh, I can kind of dry my own stuff and maybe make my own tea. That was originally what I thought about. Also, because I make my own oils and scents anyway, dry my own stuff, and use it as an extract or an oil for scent as well.
Yeah.
And even flavoring if you're using something like lavender.
Mm-hmm.
I just find the whole thing fascinating.
Yeah, same. Because it feels like... Because I was reading something just recently about our leaky guts and the way that we've, creating tears in our digestive system, which then allows, this kind of, almost the chemicals that we're ingesting in our food, but everything really, through the skin, with the creams that we use, sprays, everything, even cleaning products in the home, you could keep going on and on, all the, the things that we either inhale or physically ingest. And because we're having more and more kind of these foreign body chemicals in our digestive system or in our body, the body is attacking them as foreign toxins. And so that's, a big reason that we are getting quite a lot of digestive issues, more and more and more, autoimmune diseases, because that is essentially where the body starts attacking itself, because it gets confused, because it's constantly on the attack of this foreign bodies or chemicals or toxins. So it just starts attacking anything. And it's just really, I think at one point I tried to go completely clean. I read the book Clean by Dr. Younger, and it terrified me what we were doing to our bodies.
What do you mean by clean?
The book's called Clean. That is in Junger, I think. It's just called Clean. So it's about trying to reduce the amount of chemicals and in the body, basically. And I did go down a rabbit hole of everything was organic, everything, was all as natural as possible. Because it's quite scary, but I think I went too far, and then obviously it was unsustainable.
Well, honestly, if you want to go completely clean, as you said, it's an extraordinary amount of time, effort, money.
That's the thing. I think unless you know how to do it yourself, so I'm going to talk to you about how you make your own, dried herbs and collections. But I think unless you do it yourself, it is expensive because you're relying on some companies that, I'm not going to say companies, but, there's some really great companies out there that do all these amazing products, but they're obviously not cheap because it's not cheap to manufacture.
No, it isn't. And something like, I've been looking for vanilla essential oil. So expensive. And so anything that's properly vanilla.
Yeah, like a high grade.
Very expensive.
Extract or essence, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Very, very expensive. So as I have been wanting to do, I said, fine, I'm going to make it my own. So I'm making my own.
And how have you managed to go about that? Have you been researching, or is it kind of instinctual, or how are you doing?
Oh, I had a look. I looked online, see how other people do it. And then I also have a foundation knowledge of making my own scents since I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an idea of what I was doing anyway. So vanilla extract is as simple as you get the whole vanilla beans and then you slice them, cover them in, say, vodka, plain vodka, and just let it sit in the back of a shelf for a year, maybe less, and there you go. You get it, basically.
Amazing. And then are you discovering new herbs and plants when you're on your walks, or are you just...
That's hilarious. I laugh because I cannot get from here to, say, the corner without taking about 50 pictures. Oh, that's new. Look at that plant. Oh, I didn't notice that. And then the next thing I know, it's 20 minutes for a 3-minute walk. So yes, I have, especially since very recently, I have been struggling with severe seasonal allergies. Now, I'm allergic to grass, amongst other things, but this year, for some reason, it's been exceptionally horrible to have these allergies to the point where I've had to kind of take a step back of doing some of my own professional work because I was not functioning properly. Mm. Nose just run, eyes. I wanted to take my own eyes out and put them in a vat of acid just to get some relief. It was so bad that me, with a really high pain tolerance, I was in bed whimpering. Oh, it was that horrible. Took tons of antihistamine. I took diphenhydramine, like handfuls of diphenhydramine, pretty much. I tried every antihistamine I could get my hands on, and nothing was giving me the kind of relief I needed. So I said, fine, this is not working. And it felt wrong anyway, side effects, and then you feel toxic after a while. Mm. Ugh, gross. So, all right, fine. I'm going to find a way to do this naturally. There has to be a way.
Yeah, a natural remedy.
So I spent about 3 weeks between research and foraging to see what might work for me. And the good thing about doing it yourself, like I am, is I can't hurt anyone else.
True, you're testing it on yourself.
Exactly. I am my favorite test subject. That would be me.
Yeah. So what did you come up with?
Well, I started with things like chamomile, mint, lemon balm, self-heal. There's a bunch of different things that I tried. And
as a tea or as a...
I did it as a tea.
Yeah.
Well, first I started drying them thinking, oh, I'll make capsules because I make my own capsules of things anyway. Just dry stuff and then crunch it up and put it in these gelatin capsules that you take apart and then put together. And as I realized I was desperate, the best way to administer a substance to have it being quickly absorbed is, well, either injecting it or inhaling it. Wasn't going to do that. So a warm beverage.
Okay.
Because it has contact with all your mucous membranes as well. And it's generally soothing anyway. So I started drinking my own tea. And it seemed to work. And just like a lot of natural remedies, it wasn't like taking three Benadryl, you know, and having it be gone.
Yeah.
It's a gradual dampening of symptoms.
Yeah. And maybe the body kind of getting used to, some different... you're introducing something different into the body. And it's not, I suppose with modern medicine, like you say, it's a big shock of, the body hasn't got a choice. It's got to react one way or the other. Whereas with more natural remedies and herbs and plants, it's probably a bit softer on the body, is it?
It is. It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes patience. And it takes a lot of self-knowledge. So you have to be checking in with yourself. So I do mindfulness meditation stuff all day in and out anyway. So it's already part of what I do. Well, I do it with I try to do it with everything because it's just who I am now anyway. So I was able to do a check-in.
Yeah.
How am I feeling?
Yeah.
And in that way, being aware of how I'm feeling, I could either ease off the tea or drink more of it. There were times where I said, I can't, I need to stop now. And then that is when I decide to jump in with both feet and try stinging nettle tea.
Oh, nettle tea. It's
supposed to be the best for seasonal allergies.
Okay.
But I was a bit... reluctant.
Okay.
In my head, it's so hard to harvest because it literally stings you.
Yeah.
Hence the name stinging nettle.
Yeah.
So you can't just be walking down the down the lane and then pick some and put it in a little bag. Yeah. No. You have to get geared up.
Yeah.
To go do it. And it has to be handled a certain way. And then you have to prepare it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you reach the point of, I've got to do something about this or I'm going to freak out,
Yeah.
You're kind of willing to try just about anything.
Yeah, sure.
So, I did. Went, got some nettles. Went, right, okay. Of course, I had to choose a day where I didn't have any appointments scheduled, nothing scheduled. I wasn't going anywhere just in case it wasn't the best thing for me. And I did it, made the tea. Went, oh, right, this is actually kind of nice.
Hmm.
And I carried on doing that. And I even made iced tea with it.
Hmm.
Remember those really warm days we had last week?
Yeah,
I think we had three.
Yeah.
But it was really nice, instead of reaching for the antihistamines, to just say, okay,
felt that they were doing something.
I did.
And how would you, because I immediately think, because obviously I love herbal teas, so, you know, it's my go-to, and I'm just wondering the effectiveness that, you know, the herbal tea that you get in a shop versus one that you make yourself. Do you think there's much difference?
It depends on where you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, disclaimer, I am an amateur. I don't do this professionally.
No.
I'm doing this for myself. Please do not take my advice, run out there, and start eating stinging nettles. Do not do this at home, people. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering, because I think, you know, obviously we always want to make this accessible. And because I've had nettle tea before, just, you know, tea bags of nettle tea.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, oh, I mean, makes more sense for me rather than getting big gloves on and finding nettles. So I'm just wondering, I mean, it must be better than nothing, right? There must be definitely still some good benefits.
Just like everything else in the natural world, there's no yes, no answers.
Mm.
There's no real binary in nature, really. Mm. It's just grades and shades of activation, you know, where did the leaves come from? Who harvests them? How old are the leaves? Were they chemically treated? When they were harvested, where did they come from?
Yeah.
So when I went out and did it, I already knew all this stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So I went to places I knew.
So maybe it's a bit of research into the brand and whether it's organic and whether, that sort of thing maybe. Which I think is important for everything, really. Everything that we're putting in our bodies and on our skin, you know. Do we know where it comes from? How's it been treated? You know, how many extra chemicals have been added so that it can get from A to B? And, you know, because I find myself allergic to certain things that are used as preservatives. You know, like I'm allergic to sulfites, which is in a lot of wine, unfortunately. It's just an absolute disaster. Because it's the preservative, you know, to keep it, you know, to make it last longer. So I work around that. Don't worry, everyone. It's fine. I can. I know my limit on sulfites. But, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because people can have skin reactions and they don't know why. And it might be a certain chemical that's been added to something really innocuous, like tea. You know, you just don't know, do you?
It could be a food colouring in something.
Yeah.
Or it could be your body's way of just trying to get rid of it.
Mm, yeah.
So not only you were saying earlier about things that you put on your skin basically goes into your body.
Mm.
If you think about don't put anything on your skin that you wouldn't eat and kind of think that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, which then makes it really difficult. Because if you look at the tons of chemicals, you keep using the word chemicals, it might not be the exact right word. But you know when you look at the bottom, like back of a moisturizing bottle and there's that list of chemicals and whatever it is, and you're just like, what on earth is all that? You know, and then you can go obviously and find more natural products that have less of those. I just worry, I'm like, what am I putting on my skin?
It is definitely, it's a dilemma, because I'm very fortunate in I have the background and I have a lot of knowledge to begin with.
Yeah, so you know what's not good for that,
pretty much.
Yeah,
I know, for me. So, general rule, if you can't pronounce it, probably not good for you.
Yes.
Not always?
No.
But generally speaking. So, just as I realized, allergies, great. I think I've got something that's going to work for me. And there's a certain window with his grass allergies, and we are thankfully coming to the tail end of that. And I thought, what else can I find? So now, as you can see, all around in my office, I've got all kinds of plants and flowers hanging up drying.
So how do you identify them? So, because if I was wandering along, I wouldn't have a clue what any of them were.
Well, first, I started with a plant app. Because I'm in nature a lot. I take a ton of pictures, fascinated by nature, shapes, colors, sizes. So in the last, say, year or so, when I load all of my pictures up on the computer, I have to identify everything, if I can.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time looking things up. What's this? What's this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then over time, you get more confident and you get to understand. Exactly. And you get to really be able to see the nuance between a plant, a certain plant, and a lookalike plant.
Gosh. Yeah.
So this is after probably a year of doing identification just for my photography catalog. And also, my friend does something very similar. She wants to identify plants. She's into gardening anyway. So her and I will go out on our epic wanders and just spend half the time crouched on the ground taking pictures and apping it to see what it is.
So the app can, you can take a picture and the app just tells you what it is.
Yep. So you take a picture. So I use a whole bunch of different apps. My mainstay has been PlantNet.
Okay.
So you take a picture and then you upload it to PlantNet.
Yeah.
And it tells you by percentage what you're most likely seeing.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
If you see this is a 90% chance of being this thing.
Yeah.
Probably is this thing.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's always a good idea.
And then I suppose you could Google it and just check it looks the same.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I use Google Lens, and there's other identifications you can use. Before I ingest anything, it's researched into the ground.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Literally. Or out of the ground.
Out of the ground. I should say.
It's not something that if you don't have any experience.
Yeah. It's like mushrooms. I find that terrifying.
Oh, gosh.
People would go mushroom foraging and cook them up. And I'm like, how do you know?
I wouldn't do it
myself. Yeah, I think, exactly. I think what we're saying is there's an element of research and confidence that you've got to have with anything you're ingesting, basically.
Absolutely. Yes. And some rudimentary medical knowledge so you understand
that
what's happening.
Helped, yeah.
And also, big thing. Plants interact with medications. They also can aggravate chronic conditions or other acute health conditions. It's not something that you can say, you know, oh, look, there's a daisy. This is good for, you know, whatever it is you're interested in it being good for, that you find, I'm going to try it. No. You have to either have someone else or you do a full medical profile on, do you have any health conditions? You know, what is your body composition? What is your age? You know, how hydrated do you stay? Do you take any medications? It's all of these intricately woven in self environments.
Yeah.
And that, again, is the reason why
plants
react differently with each person.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's just, like we said before, it's the same with any medicine. It's going to react differently for every person. So anytime you take anything, I suppose, that you'll prescribe from a doctor, you're taking a risk that the doctor doesn't know that you've got something going on that it might interact with. So... yeah, I guess there is that. But it just feels to me like if you're making a lovely tea, there's less risk, possibly.
I would, unless you're an experienced forager.
Yeah.
Or you have a lot of baseline knowledge, including in medicine, I wouldn't try it myself. I mean, I do it myself.
Yeah,
but I mean, generally speaking, and plus,
so you I accept it.
I accept a certain level of risk. That's me.
Yes,
that's how I am. I tend to be extreme sometimes.
So the best thing, then, I suppose, is to find a herbalist who knows what they're doing. I'm often drawn towards more natural methods, but it's usually for me when I call it modern medicine, Western medicine, whatever you want to call it, has failed a bit.
Well, that's what happened with me with allergies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, say with my back or something, I'll just be like, oh, this isn't working. And that's when I'll start going down the kind of, you know, Chinese herbalist medicine route or, you know, something more holistic. I think I need to probably switch that up. And my go-to is more holistic. And then I go, but I don't know.
It can be a transitional thing. Like, I am in the process of transitioning from taking, like you said, modern medicine.
Yeah.
To trying to find a more natural way.
And it's very appealing. I think, you know, I'd love to make it to be more natural. Because I don't like, you know, those blister packets. You know, all these highly coloured pills. It doesn't feel right for me. But sometimes it's very necessary. So you can't, you know, there's no way you would ever say, stop all modern medicine. There's no way. But maybe there's a lovely balance to be had between the more holistic, plant-based.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a balance is great. But again, have to say this, it's very, very important. And I've known this since I went to pharmacy school. Do not take any supplement, herb, tea, anything whatsoever, unless you've had a medical profile done. Because you've got no idea how many medications interact with so many different herbs.
Yeah, I had a case of a friend who was taking very, what seemed like innocuous herbal pills. And yeah, he had a very bad reaction to his blood, his arteries. And yeah, it was actually very scary. It stopped me taking a lot of it. Because I think I used to take a lot of vitamins thinking, oh, I need this and I need this and I need this. I don't know, do I? I'm not a doctor. I don't know if I need extra vitamin B or D or whatever it is. So yeah, I sort of stopped that a lot and I thought, oh gosh, yeah, I'm self-medicating when I probably don't even need half the stuff or I don't know what it does.
That is a whole nother subject.
It's a whole nother subject.
I will say this, that using plants not just for medicinal purposes, but for scent and for visual, for me, is an incredible experience, incredibly satisfying experience. And I have to say that any of the plants that I've used medicinally have a much kinder reaction in your body. So rather than taking a tablet, onset is longer, more subtle, and you don't get that chemically feel. After you take some medicines, you feel like, what's that taste in my mouth? And, you know, that kind of body toxicity almost sometimes that you feel. Yeah. I've not had that with plants yet.
Yeah, you're keeping on experimenting.
On myself.
Yes, no, of course.
Don't try this at home.
No, I think it's fascinating, and I think it's a brave thing to delve into, I think. Because like you say, it's certain unknown. But then we trust doctors all the time with our health.
Implicitly.
So, exactly. So I think I'd rather... Would I rather trust myself? I don't know, actually. I don't know the answer to that
yet. You don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
See someone qualified.
Yeah.
And even you can even find out if they're going to be right for you, because if they don't ask you for a list of medications, they're not the one you want to see.
Yeah.
There's absolutely...
They're not doing their due diligence. Yeah.
I'm not telling anyone what to do.
No.
But from where I come from in the pharmaceutical world, that is so important that people don't understand. So, if you're interested in plant medicine, find someone relatively local that's qualified. I think at this point, especially when you're first starting out, it's much better to see them in person. Because then you get the kind of interaction that you wouldn't get virtually.
Yes, definitely. And then just taking it back a step, because what just popped into my head a bit is that, like, traditional methods of healing were natural, and a whole community would understand that, you know, you can make a poultice out of these herbs and it will cure a wound. You know, there's an element of just going back to the basics of nature that we have forgotten, maybe.
Absolutely. It's fascinating, like you said, and it's extremely rewarding, even on a physical level.
So I wonder if are there books where you can kind of look up traditional natural medicines?
There are tons of books.
I bet there are.
Just like anything else, there's so many references, tons of books.
What they call them, like, old wives' tales, don't they, and that sort of thing. But because it's like, you know, they're sort of passed, not old wives' tales, I don't think that's the right phrase, but, you know, the ones that are just passed down from generation to generation to generation. They're like, oh, just put that, like, my nan would have said something, like, oh, just put that on it, you know.
Right.
It just would have been a known thing without it being too scary or too worrying. They've just been like, yeah, of course, just, you know, do that.
Well, I'm finding out, like I do with so many other things, is there are many different opinions on what is used for what. So although generally speaking, a lot of people agree on the main use of a plant, I have found different people saying different things about the same plant.
And then you have to decide.
And then what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh. It's something to definitely look. I'm going to look into some of these older traditional remedies, actually.
Do you want to be a guinea pig for me?
I don't know. Depends what it is. My wrist hurts at the moment. You could...
I'll see what I can do about that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining the journey here on Resonant Space.
I've been Jo.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can get in touch at our email address, info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. So just if you have any questions about any episodes, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore, or if you are a practitioner yourself and would like to come on the podcast and discuss a subject, that would be amazing. So yes, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.